This is our fifth sermon in this series, Five Sayings of Christmas, and our final one, and this sermon is entitled, Nothing is Impossible with God. These are the words of an angel, and not just any angel. These are the words of Gabriel, the archangel of God. He's the one who makes special deliveries, according to the word. He's the one who interpreted Daniel's dreams. He's the one who announced the birth of John the Baptist. And he's the one who came to Mary to tell her she, a virgin teen, would give birth to the Son of God. So I want to tell you, if Gabriel ever shows up, you ought to listen to what he has to say. Let me say a word about angels. These are God's ministering spirits. These are His messengers. They're the ones who bring messages to people and do the works of God from heaven to earth. Understand that angels are created beings, but they are heavenly beings who have the ability to become human. There are thousands upon thousands of them. They are not to be worshipped. In a sense, these are the deacons of God's church. They're sent out to do His ministry. In the Bible, they are always masculine. Isn't that interesting? And they are at work even today. The book of Hebrews says this, "Keep on loving each other, and do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." And so I want you to know God still is at work through His ministering angels. Open your Bibles with me today to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And we'll begin actually in verse 26, paying special attention to verses 36 to 38. Luke 1, let's go back to verse 26. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and in this the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Today's verse, Luke 1:37, says, For nothing will be impossible with God. With God, nothing is impossible. And we need to hear those words. Before I take you through this message, nothing is impossible with God, I want you to think of your impossibility right now. Because He is the God who specializes in the impossible. Perhaps it's the mending of a broken relationship. You would say, that will never happen. With God, nothing is impossible. Perhaps it's a job that you hope to find. Maybe you've already applied and maybe you're waiting to hear an answer. And you might think it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Or the future plans that seem just too big. And I want to say, you know, in the church business, if we're able to do what we do without God, if it is possible, then it's not God's will. He's the one who wants us to always rely on Him, and He is a God of impossibility. Perhaps it is to be healed of an illness. Not everyone who is ill is healed, but some who are ill are healed. Trust God in your impossibility. Or perhaps it's to be in better shape financially in the middle of a downturn and a hard economy. You could say, how could I ever make it? With God, it's possible. Will your son or your daughter ever come to his senses? Will they ever come back home? With God, all things are possible. Will your husband ever come to believe? Or your wife ever come to faith? With God, it's possible. Maybe it's your sanity, or your sobriety, or if you'll ever be saved. Seem impossible? With God, all things are possible. So today I want to share with you 7 truths from God's Word about impossibilities. The first one is this, and that is that the Lord allows His people to face impossible situations. Mary was not the first person in the Bible to face something impossible. In fact, when we read the Bible, we discover very quickly that all of God's faithful people faced impossible situations. Every one of them. And we find out that God delivers. We face the impossible. God is the deliverer. Every time in the Bible. Look at the story of Noah. How would you like to be commissioned by God to build a ship, and it took you 120 years? Seems impossible. But with God it was possible. And to get out on the sea and the waters rise, and for a year you're floating, thinking it's impossible. When will the waters recede? How will God deliver? But God took the impossible and He made it possible. Think of Jonah. How would you like to be swallowed by a great fish? And you know, sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Like we're just swallowed up and down inside, and life goes on, and I'm down here in the belly of the whale. How can God ever deliver? But God delivered because He's the one who specializes in the impossible. Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "We will not bow down." They were commanded to be put into the fiery furnace. Impossible that they would live, but with God, all things are possible. Daniel in the lion's den. Joseph, when his brothers abandoned him and sold him off, thinking we're done with him, an impossible situation, carried off into Egypt, rose to power, rescued his own brothers, because that's the God of impossibility who is the great deliverer. Abraham and Sarah, 75 years old and 65 years old, and God said, "I'll make a mighty nation out of your seed." Impossible, because they had no family. Yet God delivered. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, "Build your altars and you cry out to your God. And if He's God, the altars will, you know, light up." And they poured water on Elijah's altars and he called out to the one true God. Impossible! And God delivered again. You look at every faithful person in the Bible. They faced the impossible and God was their deliverer. The whole nation of Israel facing the Red Sea, the army of Egypt behind them, an impossible situation, and God delivered by parting the sea. And I want to say, in your impossibility, God will open the sea before you, and He'll hold off the army behind you, and you'll be able to walk on dry ground, because our God is the God who specializes in the impossible. We need to always keep our focus on Him. He always, time and again, will allow us to face the impossible. Secondly, in your impossibility, learn to trust God's purposes. In the book of Jeremiah, God makes this promise to the nation of Israel, and we can apply it to ourselves. God says, "For I know I have the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." I want you to know that God is not the God of destruction or evil or harm. Even in His discipline, He's working for our good. And so whatever your impossibility is right now, I want you to trust that God knows and God has a plan for you. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28, the Scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called of the Lord and those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. For God foreknew, He also predestined that we might be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ." And in your impossibility, here's what God's after. He's after shaping you to become more like Jesus. And so even in the toughest of times, know that God is at work and that His will for you is good, not bad. He gives us a hope and a future because He will not harm us. And He wants us to come to the point where we'll call out to Him and pray to Him. And He says, listen, when you seek me, what? I promise you, you'll find me. So keep trusting the Lord, even when your impossibility seems impossible. Thirdly, see the impossible through eyes of faith. Every impossibility is a faith test. I want you to understand this. Without faith, you will not make it. Without faith, you will not make it. Believe is something that we must do. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the faith chapter says this, and without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. We must have faith. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's what your Scripture says. In your impossibility, trust God. It pleases Him. Know He is the God who specializes in the impossible. Without faith, it will displease Him. And understand that God promises He will reward you. Those who earnestly seek Him and believe He exists, there is reward. And we go only two verses later. Hebrews 11, 8 and 9 says this, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance." And listen to this, "And he went out not knowing where he was going." You see, that's the eyes of faith. That's trusting God. That's saying there's something beyond this impossibility that I don't understand, that I can't see. And it says, Abraham was called and he said, "Yes, sir." And he didn't know where he was going. He just knew, you see, the next step. Fourthly, don't put your trust in your own positive thinking. Don't put your trust in the statistics. Believe in God's ability while you're waiting on your impossibility to become possible. Think about this. What is God able to do? And what is God not able to do? He's able to do all things and there's nothing He cannot do. I think of this when I run into impossible situations. If I believe that God spoke the whole world into existence, He created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be the firmament," there was the firmament. "Let there be the earth," "Let there be the waters," "Let there be mammals," "Let there be vegetation." And it came to pass by His power and His word. Then why can't I believe God for my impossibility? Why can't you believe God for your impossibility? A barren old woman having a baby? That was possible for God. That's the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. A senior citizen couple, a man 100 and a wife 90 years old giving birth to a baby. God said, "I can do that." That was Abraham and Sarah. A virgin teen giving birth, never having sex with any man. And God said, "I can make her pregnant. I can speak it into her through my Holy Spirit." So if God can do those things, can God mend a relationship? Can God heal a disease? Can God make provision for every day? The answer is yes. How does God do it? Here's what Paul says. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." God is able to do more than we can even think of, more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work in us. The same power by which He does the impossible is the same power that's in our lives. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God is a God of ability. And He's a God of impossibility. In your impossibility, be sure that you obey God's instruction. So often people are looking for God's deliverance, but they're not living according to God's will. And if we are not just and devout like Simeon, whom we looked at last night, if we're not pure and dedicated like Mary, who we'll look at today, then why would we be expecting God's deliverance? How can we be living a sinful life and say, "Oh God, why didn't you deliver me?" Before He delivers, He will discipline. That we might be coming to Him, that we might be those people of prayer who are seeking Him and looking for His beneficent will. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey my command that I'm giving you today, the curse if you disobey my command." In the book of Joshua, we read, "Be very strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all that my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Obey God's instruction. I'm always amazed at Abraham and Sarah. 25 years from the time of the promise to the fulfillment. One time they tried to help God out. And Abraham had a child with Hagar, Ishmael. And interestingly, you see, Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. Isaac is the father of the Jewish nation. And yet to this day, Ishmael and Isaac are fighting it out. That's what happens when we try to help God out, when we intervene with His will and say, "Here, God, I'll give you a hand. Wait on the Lord." Another time they second-guessed God and said, "Maybe He didn't mean we would really have a child." And Abraham thought, "It's through my servant Eleazar that God will bless." No, God keeps His word and He means what He says. So obey God's instruction. Sixthly, praise God in the mystery. That's something I love about Mary, where she's just able to say, "Okay, Lord, Your will then." She didn't understand it all. She didn't understand how it could happen, why it would be her, how God would use her. So understand that we live by faith and not by sight. That's a favorite verse of mine. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith and not by sight. And it's not a hopeful verse. It's not a devotional verse for me. It's a hard truth sometimes. Because sometimes I don't want to live by faith. Sometimes I want to see. I want to know. And God says, "That's not for you to know." I found it to be a comfortable truth and an uncomfortable truth. Sometimes I can't see the end result. All I can see is the next step. And you see, that's what happens. And I praise Him in the mystery anyhow. And sometimes I can see the end result and I know what I must do and I don't want to do it, but by faith I do it. And you see, that's because I live by faith. And not by sight. I don't have the mind of God. I don't have the knowledge of God. I don't have the perspective of God. But I want to praise Him in the mystery. Here's where we live. Like Mary. I mean, just look at your text. She says, "How can it be?" And then very quickly she says, "Let it be." How can it be? Let it be. And so we would say the same thing in our impossibility. "Lord, how can this be happening to me?" It's okay, Lord, because I know Your will. I know Your love. I know Your personality. I know that You have the best in mind. Lord, I want to be drawn to You. Lord, let it be. Here's one of the most amazing and wonderful and hard miracles in the Bible. Listen to this from Mark chapter 9. It says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Him, were greatly amazed. And they ran up to Him and greeted Him. And He asked, 'What are you arguing? What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered Him," listen to this, "'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. It comes upon him where he's not able to say anything. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams and he grinds his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out and they were not able.'" Now when you read those symptoms, you might think this boy has epilepsy, right? Because he's fine and then the next minute he can't say anything, he gets stiff, he falls down and he foams at the mouth. And he said, "I asked your disciples to take care of this evil spirit in him and they couldn't do it." And he answered, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground, and he rolled about foaming at the mouth. What a scene! That's in your Bible! Now let me ask you, would Jesus have known if it was epilepsy? Well, medicine wasn't nearly as developed then. But who was Jesus? God, the creator of the world, the great physician. I think he certainly knew the diagnosis. This was an evil spirit within this boy. And when evil ran into light, it immediately threw the boy down. He fell on the ground, foamed at the mouth. And Jesus said to the Father, can you imagine this scene? I mean, there's your son laying on the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus said, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. And has it often cast him into fire, into water? Now, there's a good sign. It was more than epilepsy. When people have epilepsy, they don't head toward fire or water, do they? But this evil spirit had this boy want to kill himself in fire or water. And Jesus says, how often has it cast him into fire or water to destroy him? But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm sorry, the man said, you know, it's come upon him since childhood. It often wants to destroy him. But have compassion on us. And listen to what Jesus said. The man says, but if you can do anything, if you can, if you are able, Lord, if you can take this impossible situation, have compassion and help us out here today. And Jesus said, if you can. And then he said, all things are possible for one who believes. Impossibility? All things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out, here's where we live. I believe! Help my unbelief. See, Mary? Lord, how can this be? Let it be. The man, I believe! Help my unbelief. I'm not asking you to be super Christians. We have a super God. I'm asking you to admit that our God is great and He specializes in the impossible. We have impossible situations. And in most of our impossible situations, I'll take that back, in all of our impossible situations, God is the answer. Our belief is necessary. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now that's probably the most dramatic healing in the Bible. But it's in the Bible. Those are probably some of the most stretching words in the Bible, but they're in the Bible. And we often want to explain why belief doesn't mean belief, and faith doesn't mean faith, and trust doesn't mean trust, and we have to qualify it in every way. But I want you to see, with a childlike faith, things can be this simple. And God is that powerful. So praise God in the mystery of it all. Praise God in the mystery of it all. Like a teen virgin girl who said, Lord, if you want to make me pregnant, then you go right ahead. Because I just want to do your will. And then the last truth today is this. Wait for God's deliverance. And today we might say it this way. Wait for God's delivery. Because in 9 months, through the spoken word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, this girl gave birth to a real baby like you saw in that video. Wasn't that a great video? Did you ever imagine Jesus cooing and kicking and just rolling around as a happy baby? Somehow we see him all wrapped in the swaddling cloth and just always quiet, you know, with a halo around his head, and, you know, just like he's the Saint Jesus or something. He was 100% man and 100% God. But it took 9 months for her impossibility to become a reality. And then 33 more years, she saw the fulfillment of what God had done. Abraham and Sarah, what'd I tell you? 25 years from the promise to the fulfillment. So remember this, that God does not think like we think. He does not have the timing we have. You see, His ways are not our ways. Here's what Hebrews 10 says. It says, "Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You need to persevere so that you, when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He's promised. That's what it says in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. "For in a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay, but My righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I won't be pleased with him. But we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved." And I just want to plug in the word "delivered." We are the ones who believe and are delivered. God is a God of delivery. He pulls us through every time. We persevere. He pulls us through. We will see the fulfillment of His promises. The psalmist said this, "I love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." God is your deliverer. Well, knowing this sermon was coming up, preaching about the impossibility and impossible situations, I've been paying attention. And I didn't go to religious websites looking for modern day impossibilities that were made possible. Instead, for the last couple of weeks, I've been paying attention to the news, thinking I'll look to the secular to see if we still see God at work in amazing ways. And I've brought with me three articles I want to share with you today. And I'm breaking them down this way. Some people see the miraculous. Some people miss the miraculous. And some people need the miraculous. The first one, some people see the miraculous. If you've been on Yahoo the last 3 or 4 days, maybe you've read about a 21-year-old from an Arizona college, the University of Arizona. He was critically wounded on October the 19th in a car accident in Tucson. Took the life of his friend and roommate. His brain injuries were so severe the local hospital could not treat him. He was airlifted to Phoenix. Specialists performed surgery on a life-threatening aneurysm. And as the hospital began palliative care and broached the subject of organ donation with his family, this young man, Sam Schmid, began to respond, holding up 2 fingers on command. Today, and this was I printed this off 2 days ago. Today he's walking with the aid of a walker, and his speech, although slow, has improved. And doctors say he'll likely have a complete recovery. He even hopes to get a day pass from the hospital to celebrate Christmas with his family. And I want to say, from the time of October till just last week, that family had an impossible situation. He was on life support. The doctors had considered talking the family. One doctor says we wanted to give him 1 more week. Then we wanted to talk to them about organ donation and then remove them some life support and let them go. And on one occasion, when somebody said, "If you can hear me, hold up 2 fingers," he did. And one day he'll be back to normal. It says the MRI came back with encouraging news during the day, and by evening, Schmid inexplicably followed the doctor's commands. It was all like fireworks going off at the same time. Today, his speech clear and sounding upbeat, he said to an ABC newsman, "I feel fine, I'm in a wheelchair, but I'm getting lots of help." Then we read these words, "It seems like we were being led down a path to plan for the worst, that things were not going to work out," said John Schmid. The miracle, to put it bluntly, was that in a matter of 7 days, we went from organ donation to rehab. What a roller coaster it was. Sam Schmid's surgeon agrees. You get incredible highs when you save someone facing neurological devastation or death. This is counterpointed by the incredible lows when you fail to help someone. In a way, his recovery was truly miraculous. The doctor said, "It's a great Christmas story." I don't know. Some of us might argue that really wasn't a miracle. It certainly is in the field of the miraculous, and that family saw the miraculous at work in their lives. Some people miss the miraculous. After 14 years in a wheelchair, Monique van der Vos stunned doctors by walking out of a hospital after another accident jolted her to her feet. And this is the story of a paraplegic girl who was a wheelchair racer. And in practice, another wheelchair racer ran into her wheelchair, knocked her out of the chair and onto the track, and she had to be taken to the hospital. And it says, lying in the hospital bed after the frightening accident, she suddenly felt sharp spasms in her legs. The pain was agonizing, like electric shocks, and exhausted her shattered body. But instead of being concerned, she was overjoyed, because for 14 years she had been paralyzed after an accident, and suddenly, against all medical expectations, was regaining feeling in her legs. I still cannot believe I'm actually walking, having sat in a wheelchair since I was 13 years old. I called my mom and my dad and brother and said, you've got to come to the hospital. I have something to show you. Reading on, the following morning, doctors could have no explanation for her condition. All they knew for sure was that a sensation was returning to the legs of the wheelchair-bound patient. Her family arrived to find her standing. Although she walked out of the hospital, it was not an easy stroll back into normal life. She says, I feel myself a new person. I've decided to sell my wheelchair and all the other aids I needed during my former life on eBay, she said with a laugh. Doctors do not know how to explain her dramatic turnaround in health. Some believe the trauma of her last accident may have jolted her body back into activity. But she has no explanation. She only feels gratitude she's no longer in a wheelchair. Do I believe this is a miracle? I don't know, she said. And I think some of us are like that, that God's at work right in front of us, and we see His deliverance. But we don't know. And then lastly, I say, and some people are in need of a miracle. This is from 2 days ago. Police are trying to find out who gave birth to a baby girl found inside a cardboard box on a North Philadelphia sidewalk. Police say the newborn was found Wednesday morning, was in good condition after she was rushed to the hospital. Lieutenant Anthony McFadden says she was very lucky. She was found so quickly by two men doing cleanup on the block. Police say she was born just hours earlier and an umbilical cord was still attached. They displayed a sweater, a towel, a blanket, and a bathrobe found with her. They're asking the public to help locate the mother. And then it says, under Pennsylvania law, a newborn can be dropped off at a hospital or another designated place with no questions asked. But I want to say, whoever that little girl is, if she could speak when she was lying on the sidewalk in Philadelphia, what was she in need of? She's in need of a miracle. I wonder if those two men cleaning up the trash that day might have been God's ministering angels. Can you imagine? And if they weren't really angels, God used those men just like you and me to deliver that baby, to find that baby. And I wonder where she is today. If I asked you to raise your hand and say, if you knew that story and it happened in Butler, would you take that baby in your home for Christmas? Probably everybody here would raise your hand. I'll do it. I'll do it. We probably have a fight over who would do it. But you see, God uses people just like you to intervene in lives of people just like her. And so understand, you see, some people see the miraculous, some people miss it altogether, and some people are in need of the miraculous. I just want to leave this in your mind for the day. Remember this. Nothing is impossible with God. Listen to these words from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's our God. That's our God. Seek Him. Call on Him. Forsake your wicked way. Turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy. He will pardon. He will deliver. No, that nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we come before Your holy throne of grace this day, and as we do, we see that Christ child in that lowly manger, and we see Him as the Son of Man, born of a woman. But we don't leave Him there, for we see Him on Calvary's cross, the Son of God, the Son that You sent. And so, Father, we come in the wonder and awe of Christmas, and today we put further trust in You, that knowing even today, even this Christmas day, Lord, You will specialize in the impossible in the lives of people right in this room. Oh, Father, let us be aware of Your ways and Your messengers. And, Father, how You use people. I just pray that You would lift us all. Father, hold up our heads that we might have that joy, so much so that even the trees would clap their hands that they don't have. Father, let us live this day in joyful victory and celebration, praising You that You have sent the One who is the way and the truth and the life. In His holy and precious name we pray.